Scientific and technological advances and open markets are creating both opportunities and challenges for today's organizations. To stay relevant as a company, you need to be able to adapt to unprecedented change, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. In this podcast, we will explore how leaders can build such organizations. Hey everyone.
Hello.
Hey Anna. How has the week been for you? What was the highlights?
The highlights of my week. We've been spending a lot of time on identifying what our engineering principles are for our organization. And that's been really fun and difficult. So that's been a highlight. How about you?
So my weekend has been pretty exciting, actually. I've talked to an early stage startup in the field of collaboration in teams and building a product on that, and been talking with them about advising and actually investing a bit in them. So it's been pretty exciting. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
It sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's kick this episode off.
Yes.
So in our first two episodes, we talked about how organizations can become product-led and how they can adopt agile beliefs and values.
Yeah.
We also talked about what it means and why it's valuable in an uncertain, complex, and rapid changing business environment. And today's topic will be about complexity, which perhaps will be our most noteworthy topic in this series. Mm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I would agree with that. It seems to have become like a significantly insightful topic for organizations in the recent years, and it will most certainly continue to evolve across businesses. And we will specifically talk about how becoming complexity conscious as an organization also increases your ability to manage complex situations. And this is quite a it's complicated to talk about complexity.
and we will
do our best. So how would you describe what it means to be complexity conscious?
So an organization that is complexity conscious is aware of what complexity means, and also how the business may be affected by it and how they can relate and adapt to it.
But what does that really mean?
So say you're faced with a situation or problem that you wish to resolve. Mm. What do you do? So likely you gather a group of people that has relevant experience, diversity, and domain knowledge. You analyze the problem and come up with various valid options. And you also realize that you can't with certainty predict the outcomes of implementing each of those options.
Mm.
Basically, some of the outcomes will surprise you. That's what it means. And this means that your situation is complex. You're in the complex domain.
Mm. So you're saying that anytime you run into solving a problems and there's a chance of unpredictable outcomes, like despite having relevant experience and smart people, that problem is by definition complex. There is no right answer as to how you should do it.
Precisely.
Ah, so that's a lot of situations if you think about it.
Yeah.
Especially if you are in a context where you're trying to innovate with technology or manage humans, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, just the aspect of managing human, I would say, is enough, really.
Yeah, so, okay, let's take some more concrete examples to make this even more clear. So, one example that's relevant to every organization is hiring. What does every organization do every time they hire a developer? Well, they make sure that that person receives a computer with the appropriate tools installed, that they have access to the office and people and information, and that they're hopefully paid for their work. So this situation is not complex. It's an obvious one. There are best practices and you don't even need to analyze it. Do you have an example?
Yes. Another example could be that you're running out of funds. So an organization that's on its way to run out of funds in the next, say, 3 months or so, and won't be able to cover the costs for running the organization, needs to make sure to secure enough funding for the future. This is also an obvious situation. What's not obvious, on the other hand, is how the funds can and should be acquired.
Mm. But if you don't know and it's not obvious, would you say that that is a complex problem then?
Not really. There are good practices in this field. And instead, this is, instead of being complex, it's complicated. This situation is usually handled by having the CEO, CFO, and board of directors exploring different options and deciding on which funding is most relevant for the company in their current situation.
Mm. So we've covered examples of obvious problems, such as your new hire needs a laptop.
Mm.
That problem is simple and you know how to solve it. And then we talked about the complicated funding example. It's not simple, but you know of options that will solve your problem.
Okay.
So to summarize then, a complex situation is where you neither fully understand the scope of your problem nor the solution to it.
Mm-hmm.
So could you give an example maybe of how you've helped a team through complexity?
Sure. So the CTO of one of my clients told me at one stage that they wanted their product teams to take more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that the team members weren't taking enough initiative in finding ways to successfully deliver on their specific missions.
Mm-hmm.
They essentially wanted to see more leadership behavior within the teams. And in this situation, cause and effect or causation isn't linear. There are so many factors that are at play and that can influence.
Yeah.
So spontaneously, I was able to present a few. For instance, how people treat one another within or between teams. Another factor that could influence is the difference between what people say and do. It could be people's previous experience from work and life. Historical events within the company. It could be how leadership interacts with one another and everyone else. It could even be how, or rather, who is recognized, awarded, and how, and for what.
Hmm.
And even if I would have provided, say, a handful more, I wouldn't even have scratched the surface on this.
So either or multiple of those could have been at play,
yes.
And you don't know.
Yeah. So instead of going straight for the desired outcome, I became curious and thought about what the quickest and simplest way would be to get additional insights.
Mm.
That insights that would allow me to identify the smallest step towards progress or improvement. And I decided to look for clues to where the most influencing factors came from. And I was mostly curious whether they were coming from within the teams or from the environment between and around them. And also if there were any patterns, meaning if similar factors were influencing each team.
Mm. So this is an example where you have relevant experience, you've worked with teams before, but you don't really know what's at play or what the right solution is.
Right, yeah.
So how long did it take you to gain enough insight and how did you do that?
I did it mainly by surveying and talking with members in teams,
mm.
and other people interacting within teams. I also observed interactions that happened throughout the organization. And it took me roughly 1 or 2 weeks to be able to show enough data.
Mm.
And this data pointed at a handful of factors, both within each team and in the environment around them. There was also a pair of clear patterns between teams.
Mm. So what did you and the client do about this?
So based on these clues and having the goal of increased leadership in teams in mind, we believed it made most sense to continue the exploration in two different areas. One of the areas was group dynamics in teams, and the other was organizational leadership. This gradually led to learnings for both team members and managers and some actual behavior change. So essentially, my support was about experimenting in tiny steps, taking really small actions that led us to learn about how the situation responded to our actions and gave us suggestions on what small steps to take next.
Hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, so if I'm gonna give an example of complexity, I'm gonna go a bit meta and say that I find it interesting how often you run into making people in the organization understand that something is complex, that that's where you're at.
Mm.
And it's not uncommon for the business side in a company, for example, marketing, to express that everything engineering ever says is that they don't know how long something will take. I think most of us can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about marketing, so I might get I might get hit in the head for this, but I can see that running, for example, a marketing campaign is not in the complex domain. So you might not know what it will look like, but you have done it before. There are probably best practices, and you can estimate what the end result will be. So for that part of the business to talk to engineering, who most of the time work in a complex domain, it is extremely hard for them to have a conversation because they can't simply understand that we can't answer, like, how long does it take to build a discount functionality to our code base, because that's complex.
So what did you do that was helpful in this specific situation?
The most impactful thing I've found is to tie business and engineering closer together. So I've worked hard to make them have the same goals and to work collaboratively to see each other's challenges, because then you have more empathy for it. But a big part of that is also to help them find a common language and to find metaphors that works for your business that everyone can relate to and translate that into different situations when you run into problems. So in our example, we work with car sharing. So if we had a complex problem we were facing in the engineering team that was hard to grasp or hard to explain, I would try to express it to the business as, you know, imagine that we're the first person to build the electric car. It hasn't been done before. There's no blueprint and you're tasked with figuring out how. So it's hard to estimate how long something will take because we have no idea how to do it. And being able to refer to something like that helped us say, for similar problems, you know, it's like the electrical car situation. We don't know. And then if we have an easier problem, I could refer to it as, it's a flat tire situation. It's simple. We know how to fix it and we know roughly how long it will take. So that sort of helps us categorize problems into situations that the entire company can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. I think metaphors really increases understanding.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that your example includes estimating how long something will take to get done.
Yeah.
At least from an engineering and product perspective. It's a topic that I see reoccurring and in present and is present in many cases.
Yeah.
And I think it's only natural since it's a business context. Unfortunately, I've seen that it can lead to heated and non-productive discussions. And on one end, you have people saying we have to know when it can be done. And on the other, you have people saying it's impossible to figure out
when it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You find it familiar?
Yes, definitely. I've been, sometimes I jokingly say that engineering is the only part of a company that ever gets away with, like, we have no idea when we will be finished.
Yeah.
And of course, there needs to be a healthy balance of promises and not knowing.
Yeah. So when that happens, I found two things that initially have been helpful in nudging things into a more productive path. The first thing that I found helpful is to reframe the conversation from an engineering or tech perspective to a more business perspective and emphasize that the value is less about estimating how long something takes to build and more about increasing the level of predictability, at least to a feasible level. Increasing the predictability we have about our goals will improve how we take business decisions, which ones we take and when we actually will take them. And the second is about how to predict in a feasible way when faced with complexity. And here's where relative estimation is more helpful than absolute. Since you always have different options, you can compare the options to one another in terms of what effort is involved in each. And with relative ease, reason that option A takes roughly twice the effort over option B, or roughly half effort, or equal, or some other factor. And these conversations give really good insights and information that leads to an improved understanding of what can be expected and an improved sense of when.
Mm. And we should mention that a lot of what we're talking about today is described in a framework called Kinevin, and that's C-Y-N-E-F-I-N.
Yeah.
That was created by Dave Snowden. So you can check that out in order to go deeper into this topic and get more of an understanding of what is a complex situation versus a complicated one versus et cetera, et cetera. But maybe you can say something about why is it helpful for an organization to be able to recognize complexity?
Getting into a place where you can recognize that a situation is complex is helpful because you will understand that there is no right solution. And you might have tricks and tools that you've used before, but you don't necessarily know that they will work in your specific situation.
Yeah. So the hammer that you used before might have a completely different result when you use it this time.
Yes.
And what's recommended instead when you find yourself in the situation is to take an approach where you probe, sense, and respond. So meaning that you trying safe to fail experiments on a small scale, see the effects of it, and either increase whatever you're doing or stop because you're seeing that it's not yielding the results that you want.
Yeah, precisely. Which is closely tied to why we choose to cover the concepts of product-led and agile organizations in our previous episodes. They are centered around short iterations and learning, and because a lot of what you do is unknown.
Mm. And this is a difficult episode, but to try to summarize what we suggest, you could experiment with, pun intended, to increase your complexity consciousness is A, like increase your understanding of what complexity means and how it affects your organization, for example, by the use of metaphors. And then explicitly acknowledge when you're faced with such a situation that is complex. And keep reminding yourself that causation isn't linear and cannot be fully mapped. So the number of things that influence a complex situation is larger than you could ever predict.
Ever.
And experiment in tiny steps to learn how to influence the relevant improvements. And if you are faced with necessary deadlines or timing constraints, then you should include the conversation about the value of predictability and being able to use relative estimation over absolute estimation, because that will be wrong anyway.
Great, yeah. Also, please have a look at our written description of today's episode, especially if you're interested in digging deeper into some of the topics we've covered today. We've left a list of additional resources that have helped us improve our own language around this, and also our toolboxes within this field.
Yeah. And that's it. So take care. Until next time.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.